listen all the time.
All the time.
Every day.
All day at work.
Your home for country and classic rock. KLMJ.
Hi, this is Carly Bowman with First Bank Hampton. Did you know you can add your First Bank Hampton debit card to your mobile wallet? It's a safe, easy, and convenient way to pay with your phone or wearable device wherever contactless payments are accepted. Your card number is not shared with merchants, helping keep your information protected. Don't bank with us yet? Stop in today and ask how you can get started with a First Bank Hampton debit card and mobile wallet. First Bank Hampton is a member FDIC.
At First Bank Hampton, we believe in supporting our communities and our kids. That's why we offer products like the NextGen app. If you've got kids, download it today. This is First Bank Hampton President Tyler Herron, and that support of our communities is also why we're proud to sponsor the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program. Informative, local, and timely information Monday through Friday on 104.9 KLMJ and available at radioonthego.com. With today's Newsmaker interview, here's Mitch Williams.
Right now, we are joined by Nancy Retz, EMS manager at Franklin General Hospital. We're going to be talking about, obviously, if you stepped outside here almost in the last week, we're in a heat wave once again. It's summer in Iowa, so nothing new, but we haven't talked about yet this summer, heat exhaustion versus heat stroke and how you can avoid that. And Nancy, thanks a lot for talking with us here.
No problem. It's good to be on the radio.
So, Nancy, let's talk about that heat exhaustion. First of all, kind of differentiate that maybe a little bit between heat exhaustion and heat stroke.
Sure. And even before that, I think it's important to remember that heat-related illnesses can happen to anyone. It doesn't just happen to people that are working outside. Especially, it's important to remember that as we've got the Franklin County Fair this week, and just remembering that we want to make sure everybody is staying cool. Essentially, heat exhaustion is the body's attempt to tell you that your body is not cooling itself very well. It's reversible, we can take care of it. Heat stroke is more of a medical emergency, and that is kind of like your body's cooling system has stopped working and you're going to overheat. So heat exhaustion can include heavy sweating, cool, pale, clammy skin, weakness or fatigue. You can get dizzy, have a headache. You can be sick to your stomach, you might vomit. Some muscle cramps, and you might notice you have a fast heart rate. And then for heat stroke, your body temperature actually is going to be quite high. It can be 104 or higher. You can be confused. You can have slurred speech. You might pass out, could have seizures. Your skin is going to be really hot. It can be dry or it can still be sweaty. And you're going to have a rapid pulse with this situation as well. It's important when you're having either of these situations, you want to move to inside to the air conditioning, move into the shade. If you have heat exhaustion, go ahead and get a cool water, get a sports drink, something like that, just to help you get some fluids going. Kind of loosen your clothing. You can use some cool, wet towels, take a cool shower. If things persist more than an hour or if you start vomiting, you do need to go in and be seen. With heat stroke, that's something that's a lot more dangerous, so you really want to call 911 right away or transport that person to the nearest emergency room. Get that person cooled down as quickly as you can. You want to get them in a cooler location. You might need to put some ice packs in areas on their body, like in their armpits, around their neck. Use cool water, use some fans. If this person happens to be confused or unconscious, you don't want to force them to drink. If they know what they're doing, you can. If they don't, then you should not force them to drink at that point.
Again, we're joined by Nancy Retz, EMS manager at Franklin General Hospital. Again, we're talking about the heat wave. It's been in the news here a lot here last week or so. So you mentioned heat stroke and heat exhaustion. So heat exhaustion, you know, that's kind of more of your more common symptoms. You can cool yourself off and get yourself better within hopefully maybe minutes to an hour or so. But heat stroke, you can sometimes find yourself going to an emergency room or walk-in clinic.
Exactly.
Because you can't take care of it at home.
Right. And, you know, if you notice you're starting to have symptoms of heat exhaustion, you want to stop and take care of those because it can progress into heat stroke.
So I've been watching some of the meteorologists during this time. They always give warnings, as we all do in the media. But one of the things I didn't realize from years past, they always say, eat light meals. Elaborate on that, I guess, if you know anything, because I've never really seen, they said avoid heavy meals during the heat, if you're going to be outside anyway.
Right. I'm guessing that what they mean is if you eat small amounts more frequently, especially so you don't get, you know, sick to your stomach or that kind of thing, and your body doesn't have to work quite as hard to digest a smaller amount of food more often.
You know, I was noticing that the last year or two, they've been promoting that more. There's several reasons not to have heavy meals, but that's one of them, I guess, during a heat wave. So kind of to our audience, and besides that, maybe some ways people can avoid this. I know staying hydrated is big too, but tell us more about that.
Right. Drinking water regularly, especially when you're out in the heat, is really important. Don't wait until you're thirsty, because if you're thirsty, chances are you're already behind on fluids. If you know you're going to be outside, try and pre-hydrate before you go out. Try and wear lightweight, light-colored clothing. Dark-colored clothing is going to absorb that heat. If you have to be outside, try and schedule your activities for early in the morning or later at night. And then just make sure you're taking frequent breaks. Go sit down in the shade, go inside where it's air-conditioned, and just make sure you're taking plenty of breaks, getting plenty of fluids.
Since we're doing this during Fair Week, I know you've been here for years coming to the fair here, Nancy. Have you guys had calls related to heat exhaustion while you're out here?
In some years we have. This year, knock on wood, we've not had a lot of that kind of thing yet. But, you know, we're coming into the weekend where we've got a lot more people and a lot more things going on. So we'll see how the week
goes out. So what's kind of the first step you guys do if you do get a call here, maybe at the fair? What do you guys do to start off?
We want to get those people cooled off. So we'll either bring them back to our first aid booth, which is air conditioned, or we're going to get them in the back of our ambulance where we can get them cooled off. We've got ice packs available to us, so we may put some ice, give them some ice on different areas of their body, possibly start an IV and give them some IV fluids to help cool them down too.
We are joined by Nancy Retz, EMS manager at Franklin General Hospital. Again, we're in the middle of a heat dome, as we usually are, heat wave, as they say, talking about heat exhaustion and heat stroke, as again, we're talking about how they differ, I should say, as it relates to a heat stroke or heat exhaustion. And Nancy, I guess another question I forgot to ask too, when it comes to a heat stroke, I mean, when they go to a hospital, I guess they're trying to cool them down, but is there like, I don't know if I say surgery, but is there something they have to do immediately besides get them cooled down? Because when people hear the word stroke, they obviously think of brain, but
right.
Is it affecting the brain too with the heat stroke?
It can affect the muscles in the, all of the muscles in the body. And so they want, if you go to the emergency department, they're going to get you going on some IV fluids, because at that point, if you're that warm, the oral fluids aren't going to get you caught up fast enough. And then they're also going to look at different lab values to find out if your, you know, if your muscles are starting to have some breakdown or what's happening. So that's kind of where they start. Hopefully, if you end up in the emergency department, you can be discharged in a few hours, but some people do end up having to be admitted.
And with the stroke side too, they can become kind of disoriented, confused, and things like that.
Right. With the heat stroke, they can become disoriented or confused, and that's really one of the big things. If you notice somebody who isn't normally confused, and you just notice that they're not acting quite right, or they're very confused or disoriented, you want to get them help right away and call 911.
All right, very good. Want to answer anything else you'd like to add as it relates to this? I know we have multiple heat waves probably still coming here because it's middle of summer in Iowa. We still have plenty of summer left. Anything else you'd like to add as it relates to heat stroke and what people should do between heat stroke and heat exhaustion?
Just pay attention to what you're going to be doing and try and prehydrate. If you can't prehydrate, then make sure you've got water or your favorite sports drink with you to keep you hydrated during the day. And just pay attention to what your body's telling you.
And a good point. Not a pop, not a Mountain Dew. That's not a way
right,
to hydrate.
Right. That is not, pop or coffee, anything with caffeine, that's not a good way to hydrate. You need to stick with water or with the sports drinks.
Electrolytes, as you said as well, always help too. So, Nancy, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, that's Nancy Retz, EMS manager at FGH.
Thank you, Mitch. At First Bank Hampton, we're proud of our strong tradition in supporting Hampton, Franklin County, and surrounding communities. Between offering products like the NextGen app to help our kids learn about money, to sponsoring local informative content like the Newsmaker program, First Bank Hampton will always remain invested in your interests. To hear today's interview in its entirety, listen on demand at radioonthego.com or in the Radio On The Go mobile and TV apps. Newsmaker is a local news program presented by your friends at First Bank Hampton.
Hi, this is Pam Whipple with First Bank Hampton. Teaching kids about money can start early with NextGen, the kids app that helps children learn how to earn, save, invest, and spend, all under parental guidance. NextGen teaches real-life money skills in a simple, hands-on way, and kids can even get a debit card to learn how to make purchases at the store. It's a great way to build confidence and good money habits for the future. Stop in today and ask us about NextGen at First Bank Hampton. Member FDIC.